This morning's scripture lesson is one of the assigned scriptures for this Sunday, on this first Sunday of Advent, taken from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks. Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, on this first Sunday of Advent, we pause, we reflect, and we consider that which is before us. We thank you for the season that we have just finished. In the spirit of thanksgiving, we continue to thank you for all that we have. Be with us this morning that your spirit might speak to us. Be with us that we might be sensitive to your presence. Be with us that we might be inspired to serve. For the ministry of this church, we thank you. For the ministry of all your churches in all places, we thank you as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Recently, in the evening, I turned on the television after a long day, and there was the movie Back to the Future. You know that film, that science fiction comedy that came out during the 80s. Well, my daughters, one of them turned on the TV sometime after that, and there again was Back to the Future. And then on the next day, someone turned on television, and there was Back to the Future 2. And so, puzzled by this abundance of Back to the Future, I went to my source of information, that being one of my daughters, of course, and simply asked, why is Back to the Future on television so much? And she said, Dad, don't you know this is the year that the Back to the Future predicted as to being the future? Now, let me pause and just ask this. Are there any Chicago Cub fans in the church today? Okay. You know, Chicago Cub fans know that in this film, Back to the Future, where there was time travel, this movie that was made in 1985, there was that episode where they go into the future, to the year 2015, and in the future, they came to understand that the Chicago Cubs would win the World Series in the year 2015. So that helps explain a lot of the excitement I heard about when the Cubs were doing so well and marching towards the World Series. I heard that Back to the Future was being played in theaters in Chicago in anticipation of that celebration. Let me say this about the film and time travel. In the film Back to the Future, again, the characters Marty McFly and Dr. Emmett Brown were living in 1985. As a result of time travel, Marty traveled back to 1955. There he met his own parents, saw his hometown, and for those of you who've seen the movie, it's interesting and funny. But the time travel took them back to 1955. And then he went back to the future, back to 1985, and learned from Professor Brown that his interactions while he was back in time changed the course of events of history and altered history. Coming to that understanding, he had to go back to 1955 and undo the things that he had done to shift time back on its course. Well, in this film, there's travel from 1955 back to 1985, and then they go into the future to the year 2015, and that's all recorded in Back to the Future 1, Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future 3, or whatever the titles of the film were. And I use all of that as a way to introduce Advent. And you might be thinking, okay, how's he going to do that? Advent, 4 Sundays before Christmas. Last Sunday, I stood here and shared with you about the church year, the Christian year, that is patterned after the life of Jesus Christ. So Advent is actually New Year's Day. Today is the first day of the church year, and in this, we look at the life of Jesus. So now we will be anticipating, looking forward to the birth of Jesus as we look at his whole life, looking towards the birth of Jesus, then the life of Jesus, all the way down to the end of the year, where on the last Sunday we focus on Christ the King as our final celebration. The church calendar and the secular calendar actually overlap in the sense that Thanksgiving and Christ the King come at the same time of the year. And for us, it makes sense to give thanks for Christ, our Lord, and all that Christ means to us. And I think just any time we stop and pause and are grateful for the life of Jesus, it just helps to look at that stained glass window right behind me and to think about the life of Jesus. Advent does the same thing as Back to the Future, in that it helps us to look at different periods of time as we focus on this one Sunday. The scripture that I read this morning from the book of Jeremiah takes us back to the time of Jeremiah, to the time when there was conflict in the world as the superpowers of the day were Egypt to the south and Assyria to the north, and their conflicts brought conflict to the Hebrew people, and then the emerging power from Babylon. And those stories are intriguing. They're intriguing in that during the lifetime of Jeremiah, he was a prophet for 40 years, beginning with the time of young King Josiah, the boy king that brought a revival back to Israel and a return to the ways of God. And Josiah was a very popular king, a young king. But because of those conflicts, Egypt, their armies were marching through Israel, not with any conflict with Israel, but marching north to battle the Assyrians. And the Israelis decided enough is enough. And Josiah said, you can't travel through our country, and resulted in a battle where the armies of Israel were defeated and young King Josiah was killed. Turmoil followed that. And there was a period of time where the people, because of the conflicts, because of their own rebellion against God and turning away from God, Jeremiah was prophesying to a people that had turned their hearts away from God. And over the course of that 40-year history, we see eventually the Babylonians coming to power, coming down to what is now Israel and defeating Israel and destroying the temple. And basically, it's out of the rubble of that defeat, out of the despair of that defeat, comes this element of hope. Many of the people from Israel are carried off into captivity, some to Babylon, some go into exile to Egypt, and people are dispersed all over, and their cities, their temple, have been destroyed. And yet, as I was saying, it's out of that rubble comes the prophecy that a branch will come out of Jerusalem, a new spirit. And there will be a new covenant. And the book of Jeremiah, the key thing about this book, it says this. There will be a new kind of covenant. The old covenant, one in which where the people of The Hebrew people were saved from slavery out of Egypt and returned to the promised land. Over time, that whole episode was a covenant about a political salvation, a covenant where God declared that I will be your God and you shall be my people, a covenant that the people did not hold up their end. So we have prophecy that is looking towards the future, looking towards the future and saying something is good is going to happen. And the words of the prophecy from Jeremiah say this: a new covenant will not be written on stones, a tablet. The new covenant which is coming shall be written on the hearts of people. It won't be an agreement for the whole country. It will be a relationship with God that is written on the hearts of the individuals. And that kind of covenant is lasting and life-changing. So here we are at Advent. Traditionally, we look at Advent as a time of preparing our own spirits for the celebration of Christmas, to get ourselves in the right frame of mind. And often what we do is say, well, it's such a busy time of year, this is an opportunity to focus. But Advent does many things. It takes us back to the time of Jeremiah, looking to the hope of the future. It takes us to Bethlehem, where the people are awaiting the long-awaited Messiah to be born King of the Jews. It's a period of anticipation. But with Advent season also comes scriptures about the second coming of Christ. So we're not only looking back, we're experiencing life in Bethlehem and from there looking to the future, to the second coming of Christ. In a devotional reading that I read last week, I came across an article that was really moving to me, and I want to share. It was a daily devotion from the book called Disciplines, which is published by the Upper Room of the United Methodist Church. And in this devotional, there was a writing from a pastor, an elder of the United Methodist Church, by the name of Sally Langford, a woman who works on the East Coast. And she said this, and she's taken us back prior to Thanksgiving, and that's when I read, and she said this: I can't even get through Thanksgiving, let alone think about preparing for Advent. She said, Thanksgiving for me is cleaning house and shopping for food and preparing for the visiting relatives and figuring out where everybody's going to sleep and all of that. It's all of that. And it's all I can do to get through Thanksgiving. And then we're asked to arrive at Advent, and then it's starting again. How many of you have received a Christmas card already? I make my case. We begin thinking about all that needs to be done. We receive those Christmas cards, and think, Christmas cards, shopping, getting things in the mail, decorating the house. They're coming over for dinner again. Another turkey, another ham, more preparation. And she said this in her devotion. She said, with all of that and all that preparation, even though she's a United Methodist pastor, she said, I can't even begin to think about the second coming of Jesus. She said the thought of Jesus coming in on the clouds, she says, I can't go there. I can't get through this week, let alone thinking about that and trying to get ready for Christmas itself. Friends, I want to share this with you. She concludes her article by saying this: Jesus himself said, the Son of Man will return. And in that line of thinking, she shifted her own thoughts to, perhaps this season offers us the opportunity to experience things a little differently. Because we look at it as a time of preparation, that in the midst of all the Christmas things, that somehow we carve time out to remember Jesus, who is the reason, of course, for the season. But friends, I want to say this, and perhaps Advent does provide us a valuable service in taking us back to the past, looking at the hope for the future, understanding the people who waited a long time for the coming Messiah, and then to anticipate the birth of the Christ child. Maybe for us this year, Advent can be a time not so much of preparation, but a time of expectation, a time of anticipation of what the Lord will do for us. For way back then, a promise was made that the coming Messiah would bring a new covenant, a new understanding, a new approach to life. The coming Messiah would be about the changing of hearts and the changing of focus and the changing of priorities, because the coming of the Messiah would mean that a new covenant opportunity would be there for us, one in which it's more than just thinking of the course of history or the marching of time, one in which we pause and say, Lord, the Christ of Christmas means salvation, redemption, and a new beginning, because Christ offers a relationship that's written on our heart and not just something in our head. Sally Langford concludes by saying this: maybe this year I can understand that there's more than the preparation of Thanksgiving and this preparation for Christmas. Perhaps I need to look ahead to what can be as I anticipate and fully expect that my heart will be touched, and that my heart would be open. Friends, I want to share with you that in this Advent season, it's a time to prepare ourselves. And sure, it's busy. It's busy around the church. But we must carve time, make time, to be in prayer, to be in meditation, to read, to prepare ourselves so that we don't miss that which has been prepared for us, that which we expect. I want to share with you that I'm very proud of this church for the way in which we have taken the celebration of Christ in our hearts and opened it up to the community. This past Wednesday night, we had a Thanksgiving Eve service. Church hasn't had one, I think, in a long time, but we had a special one where Pastor Steve did an art sermon. We advertised it, and we asked you to bring friends and family. And one of the ushers was telling me this morning the count was 210 people were here Wednesday night, and so many of them were not Willowbrookers. They were family members, they were friends, they were neighbors. You did your job, and you invited folks, and we enjoyed a Thanksgiving Eve together. This church doesn't quit. The next day, there was a Thanksgiving dinner. And what I want to say is that for all of you who spent your Thanksgiving preparing food for others, that anyone who wanted to come to that event could come and And so for all of the work that went into Wednesday and all of the work that went into Thursday, I want to share this. I showed up here Friday, and oh my goodness, there were people up here hanging things outside, setting up a nativity scene, folks setting up Christmas trees everywhere, little pockets of energy all over the place. And I thought to myself, this is a wonderful church. People work hard here for the benefit of others, to make the church inviting so that during this season of Advent, we can celebrate Christ and celebrate Christmas and do all the things that we do to be a church that looks for Jesus, waits for Jesus, and we bring along other people with us when we're on that journey. I anticipate a wonderful season this Advent. I anticipate a wonderful Christmas. And I ask you and invite you to continue to do the same. Bring your family. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. And say, hey, come to my church. They have a cool stained glass window of Jesus. And they have Christmas trimmings all over the place. And this is the kind of church that puts outreach to others as a priority. When Sandy went through the list of all the opportunities, angel tree and this and that and this and that, this church is that kind of church. So praise God for that. So let us in this season wait, anticipate, and expect that we will receive, because we will encounter the Jesus who writes his covenant on our hearts. That's what we have to look forward to. Amen? Amen. Amen.